matter what people say. Yeah. We got it going on. Yeah. Who cares about what they think?
You know me. I'm the hottest in this.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. So happy April, everyone. I know we're in our second week, but I did not get a chance to welcome the new month with you guys last week. I had a death in the family, and it was just a very draining weekend. And I thought about coming out with an episode, but I really had to just sit back because I wasn't really in my element. I was not in the right headspace. I was still mourning. So, so that's why there wasn't a live episode last week. But we did get to replay the cryptocurrency episode, which a lot of people had, you know, questions about. A lot of people weren't able to catch it the Sunday prior. So I'm happy that it was replayed. Hopefully you guys were able to collect some gems. It was a really great episode. And we plan on having a lot more of that type of conversation on the Black Ivy Media platform and possibly on According to RP as the year moves on. So this week has been equally hard. I feel like death is just surrounding people. It's really hard. You know, you come from handling personal deaths, and then, you know, now you're dealing with deaths of people who, you know, you knew, celebrity deaths. Like, it's crazy. Like, 2021 is, I don't know. Either way, I wanted to highlight two of the deaths that took place this week that really shook people to their core. The first being Midwin Charles. She's a Haitian American woman, attorney, legal analyst who suddenly passed away this week. And, you know, a lot of us in the legal community, especially the Haitian American legal community, we're really devastated about it because Midwin was really a staunch advocate for her people. She was a woman to be, she was somebody that you could look up to, that you would say, I want to be like her when I grow up. She was very personable. And I just love the fact that she was always available to lend advice. Sometimes when people are of a certain status, you know, she was on MSNBC. Sometimes, you know, they're not the most friendliest at times, or they might not have so much time to give. But when I was president of the Haitian American Lawyer Association, you know, she was really, really helpful, really, really available to the organization. And even outside of the organization, she was just a great mentor, always available to answer questions, particularly how to really branch into the media as an attorney. So she's really going to be missed. I think her legacy is going to live on forever because she was somebody who really made an impact in the community. And the other is DMX. I never called him Earl Simmons. You know, we never call these rappers by their real names, but DMX passed away at the age of 50. And I mean, again, you know, celebrity, I had never met him in person, but it really hit us because I grew up on DMX, like middle school, high school, like DMX was the man, like Rough Riders. Like, a lot of people don't know that I love gangster rap. Like, I love gangster rap. I love hip hop. It's something that it was always my escape because my mother didn't like it. So I guess that's what made me like it more. But I loved DMX. I know his lyrics. You know, I am an actual fan. And so it was just really sad that he passed away at a young age, right? When I was a kid, 50 was, you know, might as well be 100. But now that I'm getting older, 50 is young. And I think what's just sad is the fact that, you know, he dealt with a lot throughout his life. And I've watched some of his interviews that talked about how he even got started on drugs. And it's so sad because addiction is something that we don't talk about enough in our community. And it's something that's plaguing our community, right? Literally plaguing our community. People are dying. And it begs the question, you know, when we talk about helping our fellow man and you know, being our brother's keeper and our sister's keeper, like, are we doing a good enough job when it comes to individuals that suffer from addiction? Like, what is our responsibility to those individuals? You know, I think that his death definitely has sparked a lot of that conversation. And I'm hoping that we are able to engage in these conversations more candidly and that we come up with solutions as to how to help our people who are strung out on drugs or are battling, you know, with drug abuse. But it was, I don't know, it was just sad because it's like, it didn't have to happen, right? It didn't have to happen. But on the other side of the coin, he's somebody who has been struggling his entire life. Like, he's been battling demons his entire life. And I just feel like maybe this is his time to be at peace. And so I hope that he is truly at peace with all of this. Hard week. So April, there are a lot of awarenesses in April, and we are going to focus on a couple of them throughout the show, hopefully this month, and on the Black Ivy Media platform as well. For those of you who are not following me on Black Ivy Media, it's Black Ivy Media on Instagram or on Facebook, and we have our YouTube channel as well. You can go to our website, www.blackivymedia.com, and we tend to focus on a lot of social issues. So you'll see a lot of content around the social issues that are plaguing the Black community. It's a platform that is dedicated to the Black diaspora. Either way, so April is National Alcohol Awareness Month, National Autism Awareness Month, Financial Literacy Month, National Stress Awareness Month, and a whole bunch of others. But we're going to focus on autism, financial literacy, alcohol awareness, for our purposes, right? So today we are focusing on financial literacy, and we have an amazing guest by the name of Fred Cadet, aka Financially Fred, who's going to talk to us about what financial literacy is. So you definitely want to keep it locked for that. I know that we've had a couple of shows dedicated to stocks, to cryptocurrency, to generational wealth, and we're really trying to promote that throughout our platform, because generational wealth and really getting a hold of your finances is how a lot of us are going to be free. Money makes the world go round. And when you don't have it, it causes a lot of these things that, you know, we're going to talk about throughout this month. Stress, right? Alcoholism, like it's the root. It truly is the root of all evil when manipulated, right? And when not used properly. But we want to learn how to form healthy habits when it comes to money. So again, keep it locked. Financially Fred, his real name is Fred Cadet. He's going to be on the show and we're going to talk about financial literacy. But before we get to that, you know, we have our preliminaries. So it is now time for our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
I've been on fleek, lit.
And it's going to be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is ghetto spread. Interesting. Okay. Ghetto spread is what you make in jail when you can't afford the ingredients for a real spread. Here are the ingredients. 1 shrimp top ramen. In parentheses, missing seasoning packet because you used it to season your eggs and potatoes for breakfast. The next ingredient is 1 bag of classic Lay's potato chips. Instructions. While water is boiling, smash the hell out of your bag of shrimp top ramen, but be careful to not just throw the bag on the ground like you would normally do, because remember, this one is missing your bag of seasoning. Do not mess up by throwing your noodles all over your cell. Next is add noodles to water. And then once noodles are cooked, spread your noodles out on the plastic bag. Then pour your bag of classic Lay's on top of your top ramen. Next, say your prayer, then eat alone, and make sure you don't let any of the bums see you making this, or else your hungry ass won't be eating alone. Example: A, tiny baby face. After you break off, what? Okay, sorry. A, tiny baby face. After you break off for throwing your open bag of top ramen all over your celly, make sure to eat another ghetto spread for maximum results for your outdate little homie, and sound off when you're done. First of all, I have never been to jail, knocking on all sorts of wood, that I will never ever see the inside of a cell. So I have not experienced the ghetto spread that they speak of. Unfortunately, I know people who have talked about their culinary skills in jail. But this, I mean, first of all, so this was sent by Young Savvy, i.e. West End PWG. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's the set he reps. But first, this is the longest Urban Dictionary definition that I've ever read in my life. And I'm trying to understand. I mean, normally on Urban Dictionary, they would just give you the definition, right? But here they went as far as to give us ingredients and the instructions. And then there was an I don't understand. Either way, I don't know. I don't know what to say about this, actually, because normally we try to find something of use. I don't know. I guess this is just to let the people on the outside know what goes on. Is this to encourage us to put money on the books for our loved ones so that they can afford shrimp top ramen and Lay's chips? Like, I don't understand what the point of this one was. I guess, but I guess for those of you who identify with it, a trip down memory lane, maybe, I don't even know. Either way, this is the word or phrase of the week from Urban Dictionary. Okay, now, moving along to our Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week is jol. The word is jol. Jol means mouth. Now, I don't tend to encourage the bad language on this platform. I know a lot of people, when they think about Haitian Creole, they always know the bad words. Jol means your mouth. But it's kind of derogatory to refer to somebody's mouth as jol, right? The nice way, I guess, would be bush. Bush also means mouth. But jol is like the bad tense, right? Like when you want to tell somebody to shut their mouth, you would say feme jolu, right? So for those of you who have heard somebody say feme jolu, or if somebody has told you to feme jolu, they're telling you to close your mouth. I do think it is important, though, to share some of these phrases with you, because in the event that you are on the receiving end of a Haitian attack, a Haitian verbal attack, you might want to know what is happening, right? So jol, pronounced, I guess, with a J, but it's really D-J-O-L in Creole, but jol means mouth. It's the not so nice way. So you don't want to go around telling people, you know, you like their jol, feme jolu. But it's for you to know that if somebody were to say feme jolu, they're not nicely telling you to close your mouth. You might be on the receiving end of an attack. So you're welcome. So it is now time for our big up of the week. Watch it. And you feel big up, all of the woman them big up, all of the girl them big up, all of the woman them big up.
big up, big up. What?
So this week's big up of the week goes to Spectacular Smith. So for those of you who don't know who Spectacular Smith is, he is or was, I don't know what's going on with this group, but he, let me just say is, because maybe it's still going on, a member of the group Pretty Ricky from back in the day. I was in high school, I think, when they debuted or whatever. Either way, Spectacular Smith has been doing his thing. I don't know. Again, I don't know if he's part of Pretty Ricky. I don't remember if they officially broke up, but he's been doing his thing. I think he might still currently be a student at Harvard Business School. He's like a social media guru, teaching courses. He's donating money right from left. So he's actually made a decent man out of himself. I don't know what the other members are doing with their lives, but when it comes, at least when it comes to Spectacular Smith, he's doing amazing. So amazing that he has been donating money, like I said, right from left. And so the reason that he's our spotlight of today is because recently he has given more than $45,000 to struggling single mothers on Clubhouse. Now, I am on Clubhouse, and for whatever reason, I have not fallen into any of these money-giving rooms. I'm always hearing about these rooms that are just making it rain on people. I have not yet been rained on. I am looking to be rained on with money. So if any of you guys know which rooms I need to be following, please let me know. But back to Spectacular Smith, you know, he again has been donating money to single moms. He's been really doing his thing for the culture, teaching, you know, courses, really just trying to get people on track. And, you know, it's amazing again to see young individuals like him, you know, a celebrity, an artist, using their money for good, right? He's not just out here buying Bugattis and Maseratis and wearing all sorts of, you know, chains and whatnot. He's also giving back to the community, right? It's like you can do both. You can make it rain in these streets. You can buy your foreign cars. You can, you know, do what you need to do with your money because you earned it. But it's all, you can also give money away to those who are less fortunate and to help people get on track. So big up to you, a Spectacular Smith. If anybody knows him personally, you could send him my DM information. maybe I'll make the roster. I don't know. But, again, big up to him for giving back to the community and for being an example to these young up and coming rappers that you can make your money, spend your money on what you want, but you should also give back to your community and to help those who are less fortunate. So today I don't have a womp womp of the week, but I do have a commentary. So during the week, I had posted an article from the New York Post that talked about NYC singles looking forward to a slutty summer, right? And I'm not shocked that this is what's happening, that this is what's, you know, being talked about in these streets, because the people are tired. The people have been locked in their homes. They've been quarantined. They've been social distancing. Many have been afraid to date, to explore love interests because they don't want to catch the Rona, right? We don't know what people's hygiene practices are. We don't know what their level of comfort is with other people. So in order to keep ourselves alive, the dating game for many of us, reasonable, sound-minded people, has been shit, right? Like going on 2 years, right? For a lot of people, like craziness, right? Craziness. And it's even more crazy because, you know, it's, and I'm just, you know, going on a little tangent here. Prior to the Rona situation happening, the summer of 2019, I totally wasted that summer. It's like I felt like, oh, I have all this time. Let me focus on my life. Let me focus on me. My son wasn't even home for the entire summer and I was just working. And I didn't even enjoy the summer of 2019, right? I didn't meet nobody. Like I didn't enjoy the summer of 2019 at all. Like I worked and stayed home and watched Netflix. I don't know what I was thinking because in my mind, I'm like, I'll prepare myself for summer 2020. And then the Rona happened. And then there was no summer 2020. Because you know what happens. You use the summer to catch the fish. And then there's cuffing season, right? Cuffing season for the winter, early parts of spring. And then I guess there's, you know, a new fishing venture or whatever, right? No summer of 2020, which means there was no cuffing season for many people, right? So now we are entering summer 2021, and many people are saying they will not, they cannot go through another dry season. They cannot, like, mentally, they can't do it, right? So when I saw this article, Slutty Summer, I was like, I can't even be mad at the people. The only thing, though, is that, yes, the vaccines are out. Do we really know the efficacy? That is still up for debate. You know, at me if you want. So it's like, can you really be out here in these streets? I've been seeing posts by everybody, you know, got my vaccine, streets are calling, I'm going to be in these streets. Well, the streets are calling, and so is gonorrhea and chlamydia, right? Because at the end of the day, no matter how frustrated many of us may have been or are, you can't just be in these streets. Like, you can't. Because what's going to happen is that, you know, it's you know, S is going to be an STD winter. There's going to be random babies all over the place. Now, again, I understand, because it's one thing to make a decision to say, you know what, I'm going to be a born again virgin, right? I'm going to close my legs. I'm going to be a born again virgin, and I'm going to save myself, or I'm just going to take a break or whatever. But it's another to be forced into born again virgin ship, right? Which a lot of people are feeling that they were forced to become born again virgins because of the Rona. But again, here is my PSA. I'm not here to tell you what to do with your life, but what I'm saying is that STDs are real, gonorrhea, chlamydia is real, herpes is real. You know, they spend all their resources making this vaccine for the Rona. Therefore, there is no vaccine for herpes right now. You want to be careful. You want to be careful. The Rona is still out here, vaccinated or not. It's still out here. You need to be careful. You know, as slutty as you want to be, as horny as you're feeling, right? Do you really want random babies, right? Like, do we really want to just have, because I feel like people are so frustrated that, like, caution is going to go out of the window. People are not going to be walking around with condoms. They're not going to be, they're like, so I am very fearful for what is to happen with this slutty summer. I have no idea if Maury is still in the business. Like, is the Maury show still going on? Because I feel like after the summer of 2021, he is going to be busy. He's going to be booked and busy with Are You the Father shows, because the way that it's looking, people are, like, ready to jump out of their skin. So I say all that to say this. Apparently, the slutty summer is upon us. Slutty summer for old people, young people. Everybody is talking about jumping out their skin this summer, apparently. And I can't blame you, because the struggle is real. The struggle is real. Like, everyone is tired. Everyone is tired. The church is tired. Everyone's tired. So just be careful, guys. Please be careful. I definitely saw the hashtag STD winter, and it was concerning. It was concerning. Be careful. I understand the struggle is real, but put a condom in your purse. Put a condom in your wallet, men. You know what I mean? Like, this is not the time to be taking chances, right? Like, do what you need to do to keep yourself safe this slutty summer. Either way, we are on now to the meat of the show. All right, everyone, I'm here with my very special guest, Fred Cadet, aka Financially Fred. Fred, say hello.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
You got to give me the what's up, fam? Like,
what up? What up? What up?
So Fred is an individual I met almost a year ago, right? It's been almost a year since I've known you. We met through Clay. It was through the summer.
Right.
Yeah, well, we went to Shirley Kitchen Park with the kids. Yeah, we were doing our Sunday program with the kids. And then it was like, yeah, everybody was late except for us. We were there early. And so he's like, you're going to see a guy called Fred there. And I was like, Fred? I'm like, okay. And then I met you and I was like, oh, you're pretty cool. So you told me that you were into the finance field. And then I guess, you know, ever since then we've been cool. And you're a fellow Sagittarian.
That's right.
Which means you're amazing. And my brother's name is Fred.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're Haitian. Yeah. So Fred is obviously an amazing person because he's Haitian. He has my brother's name and my grandmother's name was Frida. So I feel like there's all these, you know, positive connections. You're in the family. You're family. That's all that means.
Pretty much. It felt like when we met. And then ever since then, you know, we just been tight. We've just been clicking ever since.
Yeah. Doing things in the community, right? Community work always connects people. So
absolutely.
So Fred, who goes by Financially Fred, today we're going to talk about financial literacy because April is apparently Financial Literacy Awareness Month. I did not know that until I went searching.
Just learned that.
Yeah, I feel like every year there's something new. Apparently the other day was National Walking Day. I don't get it, but apparently National Walking
Day. Some type of holiday or something out there that we always learn about every year.
Yeah, it's crazy. So either way, it's National Financial Literacy Awareness Month. And financial literacy is something that's super important, right? And you're going to get into why it's important. But it's something that I've been hearing more about as of the last, you know, I guess year really, right? When COVID happened, I'm hearing more and more people of color, Black people really talk about, I need to, you know, get my financials right. I need to learn financial literacy. I need to figure out how to get my, you know, my accounts and stuff in order. I mean, why do you think now we're hearing more and more people, specifically Black people, talk about financial literacy?
I feel like it happened, like you said, within the last year. I've been hearing a lot more. So since COVID happened, a lot of people were working remotely or a lot of people became unemployed. Mm-hmm. So it made people realize that, wow, you cannot really rely on a 9-to-5. You can't rely on a job solely to, you know, to take care of you for the rest of your life, because nobody knew this pandemic was going to happen. It just kind of happened so suddenly. Mm-hmm. So now it's kind of like, it gave people the chance to, you know, sit down, think, and really learn, you know, different things. So I think it was, as far as COVID, it was, of course, it took a lot of lives, but it was good because it kind of woke us up, mm-hmm. in a sense, you know? And I feel like now it's very important because a lot of artists and a lot of people are talking about it more now. Mm-hmm. Like, you're starting to hear more about financial literacy, investing, and stuff like that from rappers, entertainers, and things like that. I hear it so much now in the interviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I mean, Jim Jones was talking about crypto,
NFTs.
Yeah, NFTs.
Yeah.
Yeah, a whole bunch of rappers are talking about, you know, just investing and stuff now. I guess whenever the rappers talk about it.
Oh, of course, because that's who we really listen to. That's who, you know, our kids in the community listen to. We can relate to the rappers. So if somebody that looks like us is talking about something like that, we're going to gravitate more towards it. Mm-hmm. Because it could be a whole other different race of people talking about the same exact thing, but we're not really going to listen to it.
Yeah.
I can't relate.
That's true. So now, what exactly is financial literacy, though? Because, you know, we're also, as a culture, we're good for, like, running with terms, running with phrases without ever really knowing what exactly these things
mean. Right.
So what exactly is financial literacy?
For me, what financial literacy is a term used to have the knowledge or the ability to be well off financially, right? And what I mean by that is basically, let's say you hit the lottery, right? You make a lot of money. I don't know, you hit millions of dollars. Without the right education or without that financial literacy, 9 times out of 10, you will lose that million. You'll go broke, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What financial literacy will mean at that point is if you can have it, lose it all, and get it right back.
Okay.
Due to the knowledge that you have, due to the knowledge that you acquire, and what you can do in those type of situations. Okay. Now, so in this case is how do you make your money work for you?
Mm-hmm.
Because our whole life we've been taught about working for money, right? Get a job,
mm-hmm.
work for 40 years, retire. So we always was taught how to make money. Oh, it's about getting to the bag, secure the bag, this and that. So we've always been taught how to chase the bag and make the money, but we never learn how to make that money that we work so hard for work for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the key when it comes to financial literacy.
Okay. So now when we're talking about making the money work for us, what are some ways in which people can make their money work for them?
Okay. So first thing is I'll say life insurance. That's one way, right? So, you know, a lot of times we have insurance for everything else but our life. We got car insurance. Insurance on the phone when it breaks, insurance on the house, all these kind of things, but we don't have insurance for our home. And a lot of times things can happen to us, right? So you at least want to be in a position in case anything was to happen or whatever, you have access to a large amount of capital or something that can be passed down. That's one way to have money work for you, because over time that money's going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a certain percentage every year is gonna gain, right? That's one way. Another way is simply the stock market, right? You could put your money into, you know, index funds, mutual funds, and things like that. I mean, the money may not grow at a super high rate, but it's still money that's gonna grow over a period of time. And eventually that'll create long-term wealth. Like, a lot of people get so caught up in getting rich now and having the money now, but not really thinking long term. Mm-hmm. So these will be more so long term plays. Another way that you can have money work for you is, so let's say the stimulus check, right?
Mm-hmm.
People got $1,400, right? This is how you have your money work for you. Let's say you get. I don't know, 4 or 5 buddies, right? 5 of your closest friends, you guys all have this $1,400, right? You know, with that money, depending on where you're located, you can start investing in real estate and having money work for you. So right now with that kind of money, that's enough for a down payment on a home, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can use that money to buy a home, rent it out, and have tenants pay the mortgage, and now every month you're receiving cash flow from that property that you bought. That's one way. Or another way is now you can, let's say you want to start a brand, right? Let's say you want to start making clothes or hats or t-shirts or something like that. You could use whatever money you work for, invest in the machine, the vinyl paper and all of that stuff. And now you could brand yourself and start promoting your brand and start, selling what you do as far as designing. Mm-hmm. Now, that's money that's working for you because you invested in that machine that's going to generate income for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. As opposed to outsourcing all of your work and paying heftier fees. It makes sense. Exactly. It makes sense. Especially a lot of people are in the t-shirt business nowadays. So, I mean, I feel like that's definitely a joke.
Exactly.
Definitely a gem. All right. So that's good to know, because I think that when we hear that all the time, you know, make your money work for you. And we're like, all right, well, how do we do that? Right.
Right.
So I think those are definitely great.
I mean, it all starts off with the knowledge, of course. You know, you can't just, you know, you can't just invest blindly into anything without knowing anything about it, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll say that factor comes first with learning, you know, whatever field you're going to dive into, definitely take the time out, you know, invest in the books, mm-hmm. invest in the, you know, in the mentorship, in the, you know, the different YouTube videos for free, and just start learning as much as you can mm-hmm. you know, first, and then, you know, get into it.
Why do you think Black people in particularly are behind in the financial literacy game?
I know one right off the bat. It's called Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Ah.
A lot of people have that illness, right? Mm-hmm. It's a disease.
It's a disease.
I know so many people like that. And what I mean, for those of you that don't know what that means, keeping up with the Joneses pretty much means you're spending money that you don't really have to impress people who don't really care. Mm. So I know you see the people who, when they, you know, when they get the paycheck, or some people who you know, got their taxes, get the stimulus. Okay, let me get this foreign car.
Yep.
Let me go take this foreign car, even though my credit is bad. I'm going to get this car with a 500 credit score, pay hundreds of dollars a month. You have a car payment, including insurance, of over $1,000 a month just to ride out looking good to say that you have a foreign car, knowing that you're struggling with the payments every month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I unfortunately know people who've done that, who've borrowed money just to make up the payments for a car when they don't have a house
right.
for themselves, right? They still living at mama's house. So, right. Yeah, that's definitely a disease, a sickness that's deep, deep, deep in the Black community. Man, it's funny you mentioned, you know, with the STEMI. There's been a lot of conversation with the STEMI recently that, you know, people were looking to invest the STEMI this time around. I think because, you know, there's this interest in financial literacy, people, instead of going to buy the Birkin bag or whatever the case is,
right.
All right, let me actually try to invest this money. But I like what you said before, you know, it's not just going to do things blindly. It's let me get the knowledge, because you could invest that $1,400 thinking you're going to get a great options play, and, you know, and next thing
right. you
lose everything. So we talked about keeping up with the Joneses. What else do you think contributes to this lack of financial literacy within our community?
So pretty much our surroundings, and a lot of us not coming up, not knowing about it, not really mm-hmm. being educated, right? So, and I could speak for myself, like in my household, I was never taught none of the stuff that I know now.
Mm-hmm.
Like basically my family, my parents, they just left it to the school system to really educate me. But as we know, the formal education is not real education.
Yep.
Because the majority of what you're learning, you're not really gonna, 9 times out of 10, you're not gonna apply it to your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's pretty much like when you finish school or when you leave school, that's when, you know, the education really starts.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think a lot of us got caught in that credit card, you know, situation. And I think because, like you said, you know, especially in my household, my mom was just like, mm-hmm. credit card? No, credit card, no credit card. But now that I'm older, I mean, I was fortunate enough that I had an aunt of mine who was always like this, like she was always a part. Like she was the Haitian that was different from all the other Haitians.
Right.
And when I was in college, she encouraged me to get a credit card, but one that I was able, I think like my first credit was like a Macy's card. She was just right. like, get a Macy's card, you know, make sure you're not really buying anything off of it, but, you know, start building your credit. And I think I had gotten a Discover, like a student Discover card.
Right.
And that's how I was able to, you know, have credit history from like 2003 or 2004 or whatever. Right. But my mom never taught me that. She was like, credit card is the devil. But now I'm hearing, you know, I'm listening to the white people talk about credit. And, you know, I don't remember who it was, but I don't know. It wasn't Warren Buffett, I don't think. But he was like, I don't own a debit card. and I don't have my kids own a debit card. Like, I use And he's like, and he made some good points when he's like, you know, if you lose your debit card, you lose your money. If you lose the credit card, you know, you
just right.
That's it. But I think still going back to what you're saying before, it's that there has to be a knowledge about it, right? Like,
absolutely.
We know that credit's not bad, but how do we utilize credit?
How do we get ahead utilizing it, right? And, you know, again, like you said, we want educated. I know when people turn 18, 19, they get a credit card, they think it's free money. $1,000, they go max it out. You know, especially in college, like, you don't, a lot of them don't know better.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then later along down the line, they're just screwing up their credit profile because now you have that type of debt that went into collections. And then when you graduate, you got a bunch of student loans on your head.
Yep.
You know, so it's just a lot of that. But I'll say this, as far as credit, as far as like just being educated about it, people don't understand that a lot of these people, they get ahead using credit. You just got to know, basically you just got to have a plan on what you can use it for, because the main problem would be a lot of people don't have capital, don't have flat out cash to do anything, right? Mm-hmm. But that's when credit comes in. And that can help you get the capital to what you need. You know what I mean? So
now you're financially Fred. You know, you're every day you drop gems on Instagram, you know, giving people free game, as right? You call it, right? Free game, so that, you know, the culture could move forward, right? And there's been many of times I've seen posts of people shaking keys, opening homes, cars, and I'm just like, man. Fred got the whole block hooked up. Where's my hookup? But we'll talk about that after. We'll talk about that after. So tell me a little bit about what you actually do with respect to helping people, you know, obtain this knowledge and getting people to a place of financial freedom.
Right. Okay. So for those of you watching, I am a financial consultant, but I specialize in credit repair, credit restoration, making sure that people get their buying power back and able to get approved for, you know, real estate, business credit, or, you know, just even getting a car or certain type of loan that they're looking for. So that's pretty much what I specialize in, you know, and I just love it. You know, I've been in the business for 3.5 years now, and it's just been a life changing opportunity for me that I took advantage of. And, you know, ever since I got started, the rest is history.
So take me through your process. Like, so let's say I'm the client and I'm like, listen, Fred, my life is a hot mess. I've been trying to keep up with the Joneses all my life. My mother never taught me about credit. I have like $50,000 in credit debt. You know, I could barely make my payments, but, you know, I need to be financially free because I want to be able to stop renting and buy my own spot. And I want to stop, you know, leasing this car for $2,000 a month. Right. How can you help me?
Okay. So in a case like that, what I'll do, I would evaluate your report. Like, because it's one thing for a client to tell you what, you know, what's going on with their report, and it's another thing to actually see it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because sometimes they'll say, you know, this is going on, and then when you pull up their report, you're going to call them. There's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
So I would do that, and then I would just get into the process of how I'm able to help them. But first, I would like to, I usually gather, like, what are their goals? Like, what is it that they're trying to get approved for? Mm-hmm. You know, what is it that they're looking to get in the near future? Most people say they want a house within 6 months to a year. And basically, I just kind of explain how I can help them based on what they're looking for,
mm-hmm.
you know, based on what's in it for them. So, you know, I'll just give them the spell on how, you know, how we work, how we operate, pretty much. I'll say the first thing we'll do is a full cleanup, meaning that we're going to, you know, work on removing and erasing all the derogatory marks that's hindering your score.
Mm-hmm.
And while that's taking place, our company, we're going to also help you add positive trade lines to your credit report to help boost your score. So what a lot of people don't know is that one of the things that can help your score tremendously is adding your rental history to your credit report. Because most people have been paying rent for so many years, but yet it's not going on their credit. But then if they were to get evicted, that would be on their credit. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's one of the things that we'll help our clients with, because, you know, why not get credit for something that you've been paying every year? And that's a lot of people's highest expense. Mm-hmm. So now when you're when you're looking to get approved for a home, that looks good when you're approved for the lenders, because they're going to look at it. Okay, if this person could pay a rent, this person could pay a mortgage. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how it would look like, be perceived by them.
Okay. Okay.
We'll do that. And, you know, in the midst of everything, I will also educate them along the way as they, you know, our clients or my services. I send follow-ups about every couple of weeks. And I, like, any new information I gather or anything I know, I'll just send it over to them. Mm-hmm. And say, hey, check this out. This is something I came across. I thought about you. Boom.
Okay. So now the other question I have with respect to that, right? I find that a lot of times, and again, this is something I find more so within our community, people, they want to clean up their credit. They want to be financially free, but people, we're just so secretive about it, right? Like, I'll come to you for help, but I'm not going to be like, how much do you owe? $10,000. And like you said, you find out later on that it's more from the report, right?
Right.
And I find that there, this hesitancy to share information hinders a lot of people from moving forward. Like, they have that, I don't want people in my business, I don't want people judging me. How do you overcome that when working with, you know, clients? Because I could imagine that that might come up sometimes when you're trying to help, but they're still hiding expenses from you and they're hiding, you know, things from you. Like, how do you tackle that?
I let them know, you know, what I do is I let them know anything that you have to show me, I know I've seen worse. And I just kind of, basically, I empathize with them. I sympathize with them. And I say, hey, look, just because this is happening doesn't mean you're a bad person. You know, we've all had boo-boos in our life and stuff like that. And we've all been through certain situations that we had to overcome. So you're not, you know, you're not much different than me or anybody else. I'm no different than you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just make them comfortable from that standpoint after I break it down to them like that. Because I'm not judgmental at all. As far as, you know, because I've seen, look, the type of reports I've seen, as well as I've seen when doing consultations, it's been like, you know, but I don't show that to the clients.
Okay. Now let's say that you're an individual who doesn't really have much debt, right? But you're still financially illiterate. You've been able to not get yourself too deep into trouble. Like, you're not 20K, 30K in the hole. Maybe you're 5K in the hole, 3K.
Right.
But you're managing it, but you're still financially illiterate, right? You're not making your money work for you. Right. How do you approach those, you know, clients? How do you work with those clients?
Okay, those clients, basically what I do, I like to, like I said, I like to gather where they want to be, their ultimate goals, and what does that look like for them? Because at that point, I'll be able to, you know, get in and be able to, you know, give them advice and gems based on that. But sometimes I don't like to just give a bunch of information or just drop a lot of gems, but that's not what they're really looking for. Because at that point, it's not really going to mean much to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So would you say that everyone should have a financial consultant, regardless of whether you're in debt or not?
I believe so.
Okay. Because, and why do you think that?
I believe so because it's the same thing as, like, you know, having, okay, you could do your own taxes, right? But most tax professionals, well, most people could fix a car themselves, but they have a mechanic. So I look at it from that sense as well, you know, because it's like, yeah, maybe with this financial consultant, they could point out certain things that you never saw, or could put it into a perspective that you never even thought of, you know, because that's the expert, that's their field, that's what they study all day. So I'm pretty sure you know, with what they can give you is something that can definitely enhance your future. You know, I even have a financial advisor, somebody that I speak to about my finances,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. I find that a lot of people tend to miss that. I mean, I just maybe got to my 30s. When I finally consulted with a financial advisor. Actually, no, I was in my late 20s mm-hmm. when I consulted, and it was an event that took place, and I was, you know, they were doing a presentation, mm-hmm. and the reason for me never going to a financial advisor wasn't because I didn't think I didn't need one. It's because I didn't understand how they operate. I thought that I had to have massive amount of money to get one. Because the only people that you heard talk about financial advisors were usually, you know, white people, right? Or wealthier right. people. So I'm like, I don't have money to hire an advisor to tell me how to spend money I don't have. And then I found out that actually a lot of them work, you know, I don't want to say commission, but they get paid from some of the services that you might acquire. Yeah. So essentially, you know, it doesn't really cost to actually get the service, depending on where you go.
But what I like about them is it's based on your budget. Mm-hmm. Because when you sit down with them, they calculate your expenses, your bills, all those kind of things. And just by, like, that's the eye-opener right there, too, when you consult with these people, when they go through the expense, you realize you spend a lot of unnecessary money just on frivolous things. And it's just like, wow, I need to change. But that's that reality check that you need. You consult with these people, because if you don't speak with them, you would never really know. Because a lot of people have more money than they think they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the little things that really add up.
Budgeting is one of those things that it's almost a taboo word for most people. Like, oh, don't talk about budgets, right? Yeah, well, everybody's on a budget, but they're not on a budget. Like, I'm always like, yeah, I'm on a budget, but I'm still, you know, you're still swiping right from left.
Right.
So how do you really get somebody to stick to a budget? Because you can sit down with the advisor and create the budget, right? You can go through all their expenses and say, here is the plan. But how do you get someone to stick to the budget?
I mean, the best thing you can do is just hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, because at the end of the day, you can't want it more than that person, mm-hmm. right? That person has to want to achieve whatever goals that they set or whatever it is that they're looking for. So that person still has to put their forward. I mean, as a consultant and advisor, the most you can do is, you know, check up on them and just kind of hold them accountable. Like, hey, look, this is what you told me. This is what you wanted to do. Are you, you know, based on your habits, it's not looking like you're going to reach this point.
So that's interesting. So do you monitor your clients' spending habits to know that they're not following the budget?
No, I don't necessarily monitor it. Okay. I'm not really anything like that.
Because I'm like, could I get somebody to send me a text like, hey, did you need that latte?
No, but it's like, you know, periodically check up on them and say, hey, you know, how's this looking? This, that, the other thing. Like, for the most part, they're transparent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know? I mean, there's no reason to lie to me. You won't be lying to yourself.
But some people still, you know, it's still that thing. Like, oh man, because finances is a hard topic for a lot of people. I think particularly in our community, because these are not right. conversations that we're used to having with our family. Like, nobody mm-hmm. talked about money in my house. At all. And if you as a kid try to talk about money, you were in grown folks business, right? So
right.
you would get in trouble for counting anybody's money.
Right.
So I think I think that that's part of it. There's still, even when we're adults, we're grown ass people, we're still like, oh man, you know, I just shared this information with Fred. I know that he's not anybody for me to be afraid of, but there's still that, like, I don't want people
I
to know.
Still feel ashamed.
Yeah.
Guilty. I don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Budgeting is one of the hardest things, I would say, even for me. I mean, I don't spend a lot, which is why I can get away with you know, a lot of things. But I think that if I were to stick to a strict budget, I would find all those coins that that are existing.
If I said I'm perfect when it comes to budgeting, I'll be lying to you, because I'm not either. You know, at this time, here and there, I say, oh man, I want that. Mm-hmm. Man, let me just get it. I'll pay it back a little later.
That's how a lot of people happens. Yeah, we get into trouble. So what would, if I were to say, you know, what's the number one advice that you can give to somebody who's wanting to embark on their journey of financial literacy, right? To really get their finances in order, even if they don't have a real goal in sight, like, you know, buying a house, buying a car, they just want to just do better, right? An advice, a gem that you can share?
In that case, what I would say is learn as much as you can. Learn as much as you can. There's so much free information out there for you if you just look for it, right? Definitely start, you know, reading the books and stuff like that. One book I would highly recommend is Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. That was the starter for me.
I love that book. Absolutely love it.
It definitely shifts your mindset. Shifts your mindset when it comes to money. Mm-hmm. You know, this is at any level, you know. So if you definitely want to learn more about that, that'll be where I will start.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's definitely a really good book. I think it's been around for so many years, and a lot of people are now like discovering it, but
yeah.
I totally agree with you there. And there's another book that I heard. I haven't gotten it yet, but I think it's called The Millionaire Next Door.
The Millionaire Next Door, yep.
Yeah, I want to start reading that. I think it's next on my spring reading list.
Absolutely. You know, so I'll definitely, like I said, just learn as much, get educated. You know, there's so many YouTube videos out there, some great, you know, mentors who talk about, you know, financial literacy and things like that. So I would definitely start tapping in with that, you know. It, you know, even like 30 minutes, 20 minutes out your day just to, you know, just throw a little video or two on or something like that. Just start learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. I think, you know, the key from what I've been hearing, you know, the theme, the overarching theme in all of this is that we need to invest in ourselves, right? In order for us to take that next step. Like, okay, we want to get our finances right. We need to invest in ourselves by either getting a financial consultant, getting on YouTube.
This is the gem I always tell people, right? The same way you feed your body every day is the same way you got to feed your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the same exact way.
And people don't get that, right? They think that it's interesting. Like, how are you going to get more intelligent? How are you going to get more savvy if you don't exercise your brain muscles?
Right, exactly. They say the minute you stop learning, you stop living.
No, it's true. It's true.
Really true, yeah.
It's true. So now, Fred, I want you to share with us, you know, where we can find you, right? Because, you know, we know we could find you on Instagram giving, you know, gems. So I want you to definitely drop that handle. But if somebody is like, you know what, I love the way Fred breaks things down. He's not judgmental. I can go to him for assistance. But how do I get in contact with this guy?
Right. Okay. So like you said, first, the Instagram platform at financially_Fred. Y'all know how to spell that. I do. That's my Instagram. My Facebook is Fred Cadet, straight Fred Cadet. You can also contact me for a consultation. My phone number is 347-666-1251. So you can definitely shoot me a text, give me a call. If you want to set up a consultation, definitely talk, see where you at, see how we can best assist you in your needs, and making sure that, you know, your needs are fulfilled.
All right. I like that. And you're based in Brooklyn, right, Fred?
Correct.
All right, cool. So is there a physical location that you meet clients, or is it all virtual? Because I know that some people might be wondering, I do want to work with him, but I'm not quite ready to meet people in person. So do you work with people virtually?
Yes, absolutely. So I have clients nationwide. So you don't necessarily have to be in Brooklyn or in New York to work for me to work with you.
Okay. Okay.
So I just wanted to point that out there. But if you do want to, you know, meet with me in person and, you know, sit down and have a conversation, I'm at 495 Flatbush Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. All That's right. the location of the office.
All right. Well, Fred, thank you so much for being a part of this show. I mean, this you are our first ever national financial literacy awareness guest.
Wow. Such an honor. Thank you so much for having me. When you gave me that call, I was like, I can't turn that down.
No, of course, you know, I've been planning on doing this for a while. It's just that, you know, obviously things keep coming up and then, you know, just trying to actually like fit in the time and make sure that the topic is in flow. But, you know, we've talked about different types of financial ventures on this platform over the last, I think maybe 2 months. We had somebody come on to talk about like stocks and options. And then we had an individual come on to talk about cryptocurrency, which is like the new wave. And so we definitely, you know, as we're talking about all these different things, it's like you still have to have your finances in order to even really engage in some of these activities, right? So this is kind of like, okay, you know that there are opportunities out there, but let's clean up your house first.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man. But again, Fred, thank you so much. And everybody, you heard he is financially Fred, financially_Fred on Instagram, Fred Cadet on Facebook, you said. And, you know, he gave you his phone number. It's for you to use for business purposes only, not. Not for inappropriate conversations. I always give that disclaimer whenever people drop, you know, phone numbers on here. But thank you so much. I think that the work that you do is really important. I mean, you've done some financial literacy mini workshops, you know, for Black Ivy, you know, over the summer. And I think even in the fall, and it was received really well. So it's you know, it's always great to see young people out here giving free game, right? Because a lot of times people will say, if you don't got the money, we're not going to share nothing with
you. Is that where you're going to share, or they're going to charge you on the leg, right?
Exactly. And I think that, you know, you're doing it for the culture, you're doing it for your people. And I think that, you know, it's well received. So, you know, just continue doing your job, continue doing what you got to do. We're always here to support you. And I'm sure we'll have you back on the show to talk more financial literacy as the year develops, since everybody and their mother wants to be financially free.
Right? Absolutely.
All right, everyone. So thank you for tuning into another episode of According to RP, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.